You and me, NBPD, episode 22, depression. So I did a poll a couple of days ago on my Instagram. That's generally where I talk about like what episodes I want to cover and all this. And people voted, and it seemed like this episode got the most votes. So we're going to be talking about what depression is, how to handle depression, at least from my perspective, and some of the ways that depression while living with BPD is different than clinical depression, or otherwise known as major depressive disorder. So some of the things I think are important to state right off the bat is I just want to give a trigger warning, because we will be talking about potential suicide or suicide ideation and self-harm. So if you're not in a good state of mind to have this conversation, then that's totally fine. You have to do what's correct for you. And I think it's also important that we kind of make a distinction between general depressive thoughts and clinical depression, otherwise known as situational depression and clinical depression. So situational depression is most often understood as something that comes about as a result of some sort of traumatic experience. So this could be losing your job, a breakup with a significant other. It could be maybe you are moving away from your family and that's really traumatic for you, or you are grieving from the death of a loved one. There's a lot of different situations that result in situational depression, and I think everybody in their life is going to experience this on some kind of, in some sort of circumstance or another. We all are human, and we all experience influx of emotions when traumatic experiences happen, when things happen in our life that maybe we don't have any control over, or we feel like our control of the situation has been taken away from us. And these types of situations can be super, super intense. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. It is a very valid reason to experience depression. But there's a difference between situational depression, which comes about because of some sort of, like a result of some situation, compared to clinical depression. And we're going to be kind of talking more about the clinical depression, but I just want to acknowledge that situational depression is a real thing. And I don't think we should minimize that in any case. The things that people with clinical depression or chronic depression experience are the same things for people who experience situational depression. It's just situational depression often goes away after a couple of weeks. So if you ever hear anybody who said, like, this is how I cured my depression, it can sound really inspiring and sound really awesome to hear that. And it's great for that person. But there's a difference between living with depression for an extended amount of time compared to I lost my job and I dropped out of school and I was really depressed and this is how I fix things. You know, we're not really necessarily going to be talking about how to fix things, because I don't think that depression in itself, especially clinical and major depressive disorder type of depression, I don't think that that necessarily can be cured. I think it can be alleviated in lots of ways, just like I don't think that BPD can be cured. But I think that there are some people who experience situational depression and thereby put these kind of ideas of, oh, you can be cured of depression, onto people who experience chronic depression. And I think we need to distinguish what we're talking about. So I just wanted to say that before we actually start talking a little bit more about what clinical depression is and how it fits into the kind of greater concept of BPD and personality disorders. So there was a study that was done in 2012 with a group of people who have BPD. And this study suggested that of the people who have diagnosed BPD, 83% of them, that is more than 3/4 of the people in this study, also will experience at some point in time episodes of chronic depression or comorbid, which is like a co-diagnosis of chronic depression. So in the community of BPD, there are a lot of people who experience depression. And I think that often it is brushed aside. It is talked about, even when you do research about it, it's not necessarily talked about in terms of people with BPD experiencing depression, or the vice versa, people who have been diagnosed with depression who might actually have BPD. I think that it's something that we need to change and something that we need to really unpack, because depression is hard. It's not fun. It's not something that can just go away easily. When you live with depression, you kind of have to be ready to face that any day of your life. And it's not easy, especially if the people around you don't understand. So some of the symptoms when we think about depression or people experiencing depression, number one would be this feeling of sadness, of hopelessness, or this feeling of just being overwhelmed with life in general. And it might, for a lot of people with chronic depression, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's not necessarily because their life has gotten any harder. In fact, it can happen when your life has gotten easier. It's just something that you kind of start to feel this feeling of, oh, I'm sad. I feel overwhelmed. You might wake up in the morning and immediately feel overwhelmed just with your day. You haven't even done anything. And you're like, I already can't handle this. People with depression might experience an increased irritability in dealing with problems, especially when it comes to emotions and socio-emotional relationships. So it could be at work, it could be with family members, it could even be with your children. You might experience a increase in fatigue and have low energy and be lethargic. I know when I'm not in the greatest of states, I want to sleep all the time. And even the things that I enjoy, that I know I enjoy, like even meditation and yoga and all the things that I do to keep myself happy or like in a good state, I just don't want to do them. And I know that doing them, and this is the hard part to explain, because it's like, I know that doing them is going to make me feel better, but it's the lack of energy to even begin. You know, like we talk about this thing of like the depression room or the depression apartment, where someone hasn't done the dishes or someone hasn't maybe taken a shower or cleaned their room. And the hard part is starting. It's getting the motivation to even begin to make your living situation better. That can be a major thing that stands in the way of dealing with these depressive thoughts and these depressive episodes. You might also feel extremely restless or easily distracted, or in the case of people with BPD, you might experience more dissociation. I know that when I am starting to feel myself kind of going into this depressive state, I can feel like I'm losing track of time. Or maybe I'm reading, but I'm having to reread the same paragraph over and over again because my brain just feels like there's a brain fog that's come over me. Another thing that depression will typically result in is an increase in sleep problems. So this might be nightmares or insomnia or just having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. It could also in increase the amount of pain that you feel. So if you have a chronic pain condition, or if you got hurt in an accident, and you're experiencing depression, it might make this pain come back. And I think it's important for us to talk about the symptoms, because everybody feels sad. Everybody feels hopeless sometimes. Everybody feels this increased irritability. But the thing that makes depression different is, in a clinical sense, to qualify as a depressive episode or as somebody who has depression, it's that these symptoms last for longer than 2 weeks on a kind of everyday basis. So yes, some people might wake up in the morning and they feel overwhelmed with the day, but it's this kind of repeated feeling that knocks you down, and it kind of makes you feel like you have nothing else to offer the world, nothing else to offer yourself. And it can be extremely hard to explain to people who don't experience this type of depression, like, what you mean and how we experience it. For myself, I can almost kind of feel when I'm getting into a really bad state of mind. Sorry, my cat is going crazy. I can almost kind of feel when I'm getting in this really bad state of mind. And it's like something in my head is kind of triggered, and I can feel that this is going wrong. Like, already, I'll wake up in the morning and I can already feel like something is not going to go well today. And it's this kind of looming sense of doom that I think is the hardest to manage, because when you're mad about something, right, when something's making you upset, it's kind of easier to walk away from that situation or to take yourself out of that. But when it's just life in general, and you can't really pinpoint anything. And that's one of the things about clinical depression, which I think is different than situational, because with situational, you can say, I'm depressed because of X, Y, Z. I'm depressed because my partner and I broke up. I'm depressed because I lost my job. I'm depressed because I moved and I don't know anyone. But with clinical depression, it's just this kind of thing that pops up every once in a while. And I think what makes it harder for people to understand is that at first, maybe it lasts 2 weeks or so. And then it goes away, and you're like, wow, I'm back. I'm not in this depressive episode. And then maybe it comes back again. And it feels like every time it comes back, it gets more and more stronger. And I think this is where a lot of people, when you think about depression, you think about heightened rates of suicide. And it's because it's like the first time you deal with a depressive episode, maybe you try everything you can to get yourself out of it. And you do. You come back and you're fine. And then it comes back again. And it comes back again, and it comes back again. And it's kind of like, if you've ever seen a wave that's kind of beating down on a rock, eventually the rock is going to crumble. Eventually you as a person are going to reach this point where you go, I just can't do this anymore. And I think it's important to talk about this feeling of this kind of constant or near constant erosion of who you are and how you feel. And specifically when it comes to BPD, it can be even harder because, or not harder, but it just gets more complicated, because BPD, one of the main criteria of it is that you experience these extreme emotional outbursts, or these extreme emotional kind of dichotomies of you're joyful one moment, you're elated, you're kind of manic in a certain period, and then you fall into this depression. And the hard part about it is sometimes it might not even last the whole day. It might be an hour or two, or it might be half a day, or it might be in the morning, and then you go about your day and you're fine and you're distracted and you're doing all these different things in life and you go, yes, I'm great. And then you go back to go to sleep And suddenly this kind of wave of sadness and overwhelming feeling and loneliness comes over you. And it's very, very hard to explain to someone because people see us switching so often from being sad to being happy to being numb to being whatever, that it can almost feel like there's a aspect of people ignoring your kind of depressive state. And I know for myself, I struggle a lot with letting people in, and I kind of always have. And it can feel scary and isolating to not let someone into how much sadness is really existing within you, because it is ultimately a really deep sadness. And unfortunately with depression, it kind of creates this voice in your head that says like, well, what, why are you depressed? And most of the time you have no clue. You have no clue why. You have no clue what it is. You can't really pinpoint anything. And it would, sometimes it would be a whole lot easier if you could say, well, I'm depressed because of XYZ. And one of the things about chronic depression is you don't really have that. Sometimes it's just kind of like when I was younger, I kind of like gave myself this kind of idea that I was just always going to feel sad. It was just always going to be with me. And that is something that is hard to carry. It's hard to carry this idea that, you know, you're just always going to be sad. And when that is your reality, when you're kind of your normal state is sadness, it's really hard to explain that to people. And it's really hard to motivate yourself to get better, to kind of deal with your emotions when it feels like all you ever feel is sadness or this intense loneliness, and you don't know how to explain it to anyone. This is why, especially when it comes to BPD, there's an increased risk of suicide in the BPD community. And I think it's because we may not experience this depressive state for days or weeks, which kind of makes it different than clinical depression. But when we do feel these things, it is like a brick hitting you. It's like crashing into a wall and just feeling like there's nothing else. And for a lot of people with depression, it can also feel like that, especially when you get to your lowest of lows, when it's been going on for a while and you feel like there's no way out of this kind of like tunnel of darkness. It can feel like there's nothing else left for you. There's never going to be a time when you're going to be happy. And it creates this kind of environment where self-harm and suicide ideation starts to become the norm. And I think that's something that we need to talk about, because we need a lot more, we in general need to learn a lot more coping mechanisms for when we feel sadness, when we feel irritated, when we feel fatigued and lethargic, when we feel these depressive thoughts coming into our mind. Because it's hard to understand how to go about dealing with these things. And personally, I've felt a lot of these feelings for a lot of my life. And, well, as much as I can remember, I struggled with self-harm when I was in high school and I was younger. And kind of, I guess, tattooing, like I have a lot of tattoos, and in a way, I guess tattoos kind of made up for that, because you can sit there for a couple of hours and get somebody to stick needles in your skin and it feels great, and then you have something to just carry with you forever. And one of my first tattoos, I remember, I have a skeleton over some of my self-harm scars, and I got a heart in one of the skeleton's hand to represent that I need to love myself more. 29 now, this was 10 years ago, and I'm still learning how to do that. And then I got an anchor on the other because I was like, I want to keep myself safe. and I want to make sure that I know that I can do that. I can keep myself here. I can keep myself anchored in this reality where I can continue living. And it is hard. It is something that we have to learn. And I think one of the ways that I've learned how to deal with it is kind of this, it takes a lot of introspection. I'm not going to say that it's easy, but it does get easier. So what I do is I'm very big on naming my emotions, and I taught my son how to do this, and I guess I taught my husband a little bit how to do it. But I think when you feel sad, when you feel depressed, when you feel lonely, it's important that you acknowledge it, and it's important that you name it. And if you're working, or if you have children, or if you are, you know, trying to deal with this stuff on your own, I think it can be really important for you to recognize these feelings, whatever it is. If you don't want to call it depression, because a lot of people are embarrassed to admit that they're depressed, or they're scared to admit that they're depressed, don't call it depression. Call it just sadness or loneliness or existential dread, whatever it is that you want to call it. I think number one, we have to name our emotions, because that takes away some of the power of it. Especially with BPD, you experience this kind of, well, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. I feel all these emotions at once. I don't know how to identify all of them. And that's totally fine. But give yourself the space to say, I feel whatever it is. Because the moment you acknowledge it, then you take away some of this power in your head that says you can't tell people what's happening. You can't tell people you're overwhelmed. You can't tell people that you're angry. You can't tell people that you're sad. And that's not true. We can, and we should be so much more open with how we feel, especially if we're feeling sad. And it's not for sympathy. It's not to get someone to fix you. It's merely for you to be able to recognize within yourself, I feel whatever it is. Once you do that, then you have to give yourself the space and the time to feel that emotion. And this is the hardest part, I think, because for a lot of people, we run away from our emotions. We run away from the overwhelming sense of dread within us because we're so afraid of what that means. We're afraid that we're going to feel this way forever. So we try to mask it, and we try to distract ourselves, and we try to do everything under the sun. You know, like the list that you see when you're depressed, go for a walk, go exercise, go eat food, go see a friend, go do this. I think it's really important that yes, you have these coping mechanisms, but you also feel your feelings, and you sit down and you say, I'm going to give myself this space to feel what it is. And if that means that you're crying, then cry. If that means that you have to write in a journal saying, like, I'm so angry and I feel mad and I feel distressed and I feel overwhelmed and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, then write it all out. Just get it out of you in some way that is healthy, that does not put you at risk. Because we run away from our feelings so much of the time. And for myself, at least, when I run away from my feelings, they come back even stronger. Every time that I've said, I don't feel like this, I'm not upset, it's come back. And it's come back with more power, and it's come back with more kind of chaotic energy behind it, to the point that I feel like I can't do anything, like I'm stuck. And that's kind of one of the worst feelings for me, at least. So one, we have to name our emotions. And two, we have to feel them. We have to give ourselves the space, whether that means that you do it in your room by yourself, or you ask your partner or your friend or someone to just sit with you while you cry. It doesn't really matter how you do it, but you feel it. And you let that feeling out of you in some way. Some way that obviously, hopefully, does not result in you getting hurt and does not result in you being in a dangerous position. But I think it's really important for us all to feel our feelings. Once you've kind of felt these feelings and you've named these feelings, you might feel a sense of relief. And that's amazing. That's ultimately what we want, is for these feelings to not feel like they're knotted up within us, but to ultimately feel like we have kind of taken them out of our brain, out of our body, and given them back to the universe, back to whatever it is that you can kind of identify them as being separate from you. And then once we do that, once we kind of calm down a little bit, maybe we start to look for triggers. And triggers are very hard to understand sometimes. And it can take quite a while of this kind of deep introspective work for you to really realize what your triggers are. And so some people keep a mood journal, and journaling is really awesome. I did journaling for a while when I was in therapy, and it helped me to kind of start to identify, okay, I feel sad, and these situations make me feel even more sad. Or I feel angry, and these people that I'm around make me feel more angry. But obviously this work can't be done until you have given yourself the time to name the feelings and to feel the feelings in a way that is safe. Safety is key, because so often depression can feel like it is pushing you towards things that you don't even want to do. And that kind of takes away your own power. And you are so powerful. You are so strong. And you have made it this far. Whether you are 18 or you're 45 or you're 63, you have made it so far in your life. And that means that you have some sort of power and control over yourself. So you name the feelings. You feel the feelings in a way that is safe, that doesn't put you at harm. And then you start to look for triggers. And triggers can be anything. It can be for people with PTSD or who have experienced trauma, it can be a sound, it can be a smell, it can be just a feeling. You might just walk into somewhere and automatically you start to feel this kind of sadness overtake you. And whatever it is, just kind of be aware of that. And if it happens again, then you'll start to be able to realize, oh, it's because of this. Maybe it's because you're listening to a song that makes you think about something, or you are put in a situation where somebody said something and it's really triggering to you. Whatever it is, I think it's important that we kind of take the time to unpack these. And you can do that with a therapist. You know, a mood journal is a great thing if you're in therapy, to kind of explain to your therapist, this is what's happening, this is why I'm feeling this, or this is why I think I might be feeling it. But it can also be awesome just for your own introspective work. The kind of fourth thing that I've seen that people with depression and suicide ideation and self-harm, and those who are struggling with self-harm, sorry. The thing that I've seen them use, and I've never needed this, but I've known quite a couple of people who have, is a thing called a safety plan. So that could be, you have a note on your phone and you write down maybe a song that makes you feel better. Or you write down someone's phone number and you kind of let them know, hey, if I'm ever in a really bad place, I'm going to be calling you. Is that okay? Because you don't want to make somebody else have to carry your pain and your feelings. And especially with depression, you can sometimes feel like, oh, I'm going to be a bother if I mention this to them. But what I've realized is my friends who truly care about me, the people who truly care about me, they want me to be safe. They want me to talk to them when I'm feeling at my lowest points. They want to be there for me. And they are so much more willing and accommodating to listen to me when I say, I'm going to be reaching out when I'm in a really bad place. Is that okay? And then you might look up some emergency lines, or you might have your doctor's number or your therapist's number. there's, I know in America there's a national suicide hotline, and in Canada we have like Kids Help Phone, and we have a couple of different helplines out there. And these can be really important to have in your safety plan, because you want to have a place where you kind of compile all this information together and you're able to kind of go to it when you feel like you don't know what else to do. It's really important when we talk about depression that we understand that for most people, depression will not just go away overnight. And it takes a lot of time. And when we talk about feeling our feelings, I think it's important to acknowledge as well that most of us who experience depression will experience times where we're not depressed. And sometimes the times that you are depressed can feel like they go on forever. It can feel like that's all you'll ever feel. And I can like almost guarantee you that the majority of people out there will not feel depression their whole entire life. You will not feel depressed your whole entire life. There will be a time when these depressive episodes become fewer. There will be a time when you can say to yourself, I'm not sad. Maybe I don't feel the most happiest, and maybe I'm not cured, and maybe I'll always feel some sort of sadness, but at least for now, I don't feel as sad. And that is an amazing thing to be able to experience. And when we talk about depression, when we talk about these sad feelings and these really, really hard feelings, it's important to recognize that we all feel this way. Some of us more than others. And that's kind of what I think is the main takeaway, is that everybody will experience depression at some form or another. Some might experience it worse than others, but it does eventually start to feel a little bit more manageable. And if you're in a really, really, really bad place and you don't know what to do about it, just try your hardest to understand that you're not going to feel this way forever. Even if it takes days or weeks or months or even years, we don't feel our feelings forever. The world changes, we change, and that is allowed to happen. Sometimes we get into this state of sadness that we think we're never going to be happy again. And that's effectively us saying that to ourselves. And it's not true. It's not true. There's so much more life out there. There's so much more to experience. And there's so many other feelings to have. And when you start to feel your feelings, you can start to recognize when it's time to let them go. Maybe you're feeling depressed because you feel really guilty over something. And the more you think about it, the more you realize that there's really nothing to feel guilty over. And that feeling guilt or feeling this kind of sense of dread is not your forever feeling. It's hard. I'm not going to pretend like it's easy and it goes away all of a sudden. Like, I'm 29 and I've been dealing with depressive thoughts basically every month, like every couple of days. And you learn how to live with it. And it's not about curing yourself. And I don't think we should hold up this idea of being cured as a pedestal of something that we need to base our own growth and change on, because we can't be anybody else. I have felt like I'm broken for so much of my life. I have felt like I'm never going to be as happy as other people. And that might be true, but I'm not other people. I'm me. And that means that I'm going to experience these depressive thoughts, these really intense times of sadness, this kind of overwhelming sense of doom a lot. And the more that I allow myself to feel it, the less overwhelming it is. The less it feels like it's pulling me in a direction I don't want to go. But it takes time and patience and a deep sense of understanding. And only you can give yourself that. Yes, a therapist can help. Yes, your friends and your family can help. But ultimately, you are the only person that can save yourself. And I hope you know that you are stronger than even your worst days will tell you. And you are so capable and so deserving of love and a happy life, whatever happiness looks like. It's not going to look the same for everybody. It's not going to be the same for everybody. But all of us are going to experience it in some capacity or another. As always, if you want to reach out, if you have anything to say or anything to add, you can message me on Instagram. I message back to every single person who messages me, and you are not bothering me. I spend so much time by myself that I love talking to people, so go ahead and message me. I hope you know that you are valid and your feelings are valid, and I hope that you are able to find space to let yourself feel whatever it is. And if that means you have to cry for an hour, if that means that you have to journal, or if that means that, you know, you hopefully you're not breaking anything, but if that means that you are, you know, ripping apart paper, that's a really great one. I've done that before when I've been so angry that I feel like I need to do something. I rip apart paper. And it can be really, really nice to feel that kind of, that visceral reaction. But if you're in a, if you're not in the greatest of states, I hope you know that there's nothing that says that you have to be 100% okay all the time. You don't have to be. There's nobody that is expecting that from you, because you're not going to be. You're human. And as humans, we feel lots of feelings, and we have to learn how to deal with that. And it takes time and patience and immense love. And I send you so much love. So, so, so much. And I hope you know you're not alone. Not in any of your struggles, and especially not if you experience depression, if you've lived with depression, if you are in a depressive state. I am right there. And I'm sending you so much love. And I hope that you got something from this episode. So I will see you in the next one. And yeah, I love you. You're amazing. See you later.